Raise your hand if you have ever thought or told somebody that you're a people pleaser. Okay. If you've raised your hand or even thought that you were a people pleaser, this episode is for you. And I'm putting a little bit of flair twist on it because this is coming from a nervous system perspective. I think that as a culture, as a society, and even in Christian circles, the way that we're taught is that everybody else matters but you. Like, you have to make everybody happy. And that is what you're supposed to do. You know, you're supposed to take care of this person and this person and this person because this is what scripture says. What's happening though, when we start to abuse those scriptures or we start to make them some form of legalistic duty, our life gets out of order. Our family gets out of order. And what I mean by that is if we look at just basic things of what is God's will, so to speak, we know that it goes God, family, meaning spouse, husband, wife, kids, and then it can go immediate family, or then it could go into ministry. And so there is this flow of how things should go according to scripture and priority level. But what happens is that all of it starts to blend together. And I often talk about this with my coaching clients and help them recognize spheres of influence, how we're making everybody be that immediate part of us. But really, there are many reasons why we can people please. However, if you've been any kind of small T traumas or just even kind of events in your life that have been high stressful, because I don't want to call everything trauma, but just we experience things, you know, we experience death of animals, death of people, but we all also experience car accidents and we experience friendship breakups. Okay. Like all of these things, it can add up over time, but often the fawn response, which is what I'm going to talk about today, the nervous system response is typically triggered by some sort of trauma, whether it's ongoing small T trauma or something big had happened, or I see this a lot of my coaching clients from childhood and their relationship attachment to their parents. So let's talk about this. What is the fawn response? The fawn response is one of the four trauma responses. It's fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. So while fight and flight are about confronting or escaping danger, the fawn response tries to diffuse the situation by pleasing or appeasing the threat. Now, if you've already said to yourself, Jess, yes, I'm a people pleaser, I had no idea that this was even could be a nervous system response to any kind of trauma or event in my life, I would highly recommend you go to jessicahoddle.com/mental health coaching or wherever you're listening. I want you to even exit out of this podcast or wherever you're listening, Spotify, exit out where you can still listen to me, but go to the show notes and click on the link to book a free 20-minute consultation with me so that we can begin to heal your nervous system. We can begin to heal the pain that you've gone through so you can also begin to heal your identity and worth and where you've placed it. Again, go to jessicahoddle.com/mental health coaching or wherever you're listening to this, head to the show notes, go to the link and book a free 20-minute consultation. Hey friend, do you want to overcome negative thoughts? Do you want to be able to discern whether it's your feelings telling you what to do or God? Are you praying for a mental breakthrough? I'm here to say that numbing out does not have to be your only option. Hard and bad things have happened in this world that need a safe space to be processed, and the church should be one of those places, and this podcast is one of those places. I'm Jessica Hoddle, a board-certified master mental health coach, author, and speaker. I help women overcome negative thought patterns to regain control of their lives. More importantly, I'm the big sister who is going to tell you the truth because I care. In this podcast, we're going to be talking about feelings, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'll be talking about practical ways to take care of your emotional and mental health while never losing sight of God. We're also going to be talking about how to study your Bible so that you can grow a deeper relationship with God. So pull up a chair, join me at the table. Let's get to the bottom of what's holding you back. Now, I want you to think of this as a survival mechanism. In childhood or relationships where emotional or physical safety maybe was uncertain. And so instead of going through pain over and over and over again, our bodies kind of pick up on this, right? Like our bodies, our mind, it's just, we're so great. God designed our bodies just amazingly to protect us. Even so, sometimes when we're out of those harmful situations, it can be frustrating because we realize our body's still trying to protect us. So fawning may be that best option to avoiding harm. So if we're looking at it in practical terms, here's what this expresses itself as. Apologizing constantly, even when it's not your fault. This is a big one, and I see it much in my clients and how I begin to work with my coaching clients of when they say that they're a people pleaser or when they start to say yes and they have a hard time saying no, is that suppressing their own needs to prioritize someone else's. And what I've often see this lead to is bitterness and resentment toward the person that they're suppressing their needs against, or I should say for. Another way that this expresses itself is that it's feeling responsible for keeping others happy. I often have this conversation again with my coaching clients where we're always talking about identity and worth in this kind of shifting of if this person isn't happy around you, then you feel the need to make them happy. So you sacrifice a piece of you to keep things happy because if things aren't happy, then that can signal to us that we may not be loved by them if we don't keep them happy. So if I can keep everybody happy, then that means that I'm still feeling this false sense of care and love. So over time, it affects us because it leads to emotional exhaustion and loss of identity. And this happens because every time we suppress a need or an emotion of our own, we're choosing somebody else above us. And then it's like slowly chipping away at ourselves where we become a shell of ourselves, where we no longer know what we like, we no longer know what we desire because we've spent our entire life making sure everybody else's needs and desires were met. And so it's emotionally exhausting to continue to show up and pretend to be somebody that you're really not because we're afraid to be who we are. Because again, if I show up and say I have a need and desire and it upsets this person or this person doesn't like it, then my sense of safety is threatened at that point. And so it's easy to feel like a shell of yourself because everybody else seems to be more important. And this is where we can become disconnected from our own feelings and preferences because, again, we've spent so much time focused on others. When I think about this in my own life and how this has played out, I have more of an anxious attachment, which can come from fawning, but the anxious attachment where I've seen is there was some care there a little bit, and then it was pulled back. There would be a little bit of care, then it would be pulled back. And I kind of developed that through even some of my past relationships of the men I was dating, where it would be really hard to let go of somebody because it was that fear of abandonment, fear of rejection, as far as an anxious attachment, or if we're looking at it from an attachment perspective. And this can easily go from a spouse to a friend to a family member based on the things that you've experienced with them and what you've experienced in your life. So I've seen this played out even as far as working through that fear of abandonment. If I show up as I am, is this person going to abandon me? Or if I haven't heard from this person in a while, I better check up because that means that they might not care about me anymore. And that is a belief that has been rooted to where I have to show up to make sure things are okay. Because if not, then my sense of safety and connection feels threatened, right? And so again, I see this play out in my coaching clients very much the same, because we have to go to the root of the people pleasing. Now, I made a podcast last year about people pleasing and some of the different things that it is. I'm not saying every single time you people please is a fawn response. It can be genuinely that you have a great gift for hospitality that needs to be reined in, right? There are things that can be good that we take to not be so good. But most recently, since I'm a mental health coach and trauma-informed coach, this is what the pattern I've been seeing of when it comes to people-pleasing and that loss of identity. Because we start to get fear-based pleasing in there, and that distorts our relationships with others and even with God. And it, you might be raising your hand here when I say this, is it becomes about earning approval and avoiding conflict. That's another way that fawning represents itself, is that if any kind of conflict comes up, you shut down, but you show up to make them happy, if that makes sense. So you shut down your emotions, you shut down your thoughts, your beliefs, anything that you hold value that you recognize, but you will do anything to get their approval because that means that you're loved and you are going to avoid conflict. Because if there's conflict, even healthy conflict, it's going to confuse you, because that means that if for some reason, if I say the wrong thing, are they going to withdraw from me? Are they going to abandon me? They're going to reject me. And this leads to that cycle of frustration, burnout, and kind of that deep sense of just not feeling good enough. So if we look at fawning, again, it's people-pleasing behaviors to avoid the conflict, to reduce tension, and to create that sense of false sense of, I like to say, safety, where you're not really safe because you're not who you are and your nervous system is revved up, because when you're around that person, you feel like you have this nervous system response to show up to them, please them, do anything you can, because there could be consequences if you don't. So this happens because, again, fear of retaliation. You might feel like if you stand up for yourself, the result will end worse again, or there might be punishment on the other end. Sometimes we don't address this because we actually believe in hope for change. So we start to cater to that person's needs, which we think that will make them less kind of maybe abusive, or we think it will lead to peace. Again, this is kind of a survival mechanism where it's a way to maintain a sense of safety in a toxic environment, or an unhealthy environment, I should say. I like to say unhealthy versus toxic. But this leads to that emotional burnout, the loss of identity, decreased self-worth. Again, if you are saying, I have not thought of it this way, if you're not even really recognizing or aware that you are responding instead of reacting, or that this could even be why you find yourself struggling to show up in certain relationships, or you're just trying to make everybody else happy, go to jessicahuddle.com/mental health coaching and book your free 20-minute consultation to work with me, to come alongside, so I can come alongside you and we can create a plan together and talk about these things so that you can find freedom, so that you don't have to feel like you have to people please, but most importantly, so you can find out who you are, especially in context, in relationship with God. We often go to this, I got to keep the peace. And when we keep the peace, it often means, again, avoiding conflict at all costs. But we see that in scripture, Matthew 18:15, peacemaking involves addressing issues truthfully in love. And it's important to remember that God desires healthy, loving relationships that are rooted in mutual respect and dignity. Okay. Let's talk quickly, just three things that you can kind of move towards healing. Recognize the pattern. I think healing always begins with awareness. So one of the questions that I often have my clients ask is, or say to themselves, why am I saying yes here? Am I saying yes out of fear or love? And then recognizing, are you suppressing your feelings or needs because of someone else's comfort? Now, this isn't like black and white here, okay? So I don't want you to be like, yeah, I am suppressing my own needs because someone else is comfort. No, well, there's discernment here and there's healthy views of this as well. So I don't want you to look at this as, yes, this is black and white, because there are times where we do have to kind of discern, okay, this isn't a time to talk about my feelings, but right now somebody else needs to be comforted. Okay. I'm not saying that. This is when we're in a situation that we might not agree with, that goes against our morals, that goes against our values. And your first response is just making somebody else happy so that you don't have any kind of conflict. Again, there's a lot of layers to this, but I'm just giving, let's recognize a pattern. Let's ask ourselves, am I saying yes out of fear or love? Psalm 139, 23 through 24 encourages us to invite God to search our hearts and just reveal those areas. The second thing is we have to go back to understand our worth in Christ. So when we live from this response, we often tie our value into others' approvals. The Bible reminds us in Romans 8:15 that we are children of God, free from a spirit of fear. So we have to kind of look and go, has my view of God been distorted because of these people that might claim to be image bearers or that say they're following God? How has that impacted my relationship with God? And the third thing, we have to set boundaries. Boundaries are going to be essential to breaking the people-pleasing cycle. So we got to just kind of start small. We don't want to start big. Remember, boundaries are not about walls. Boundaries are still honoring the other person as it's honoring you. So we want to make sure that boundaries are rooted in love, that honor God, reflect his design for healthy relationships. Proverbs 4:23 reminds us to guard our hearts. That includes setting boundaries. So again, recognizing the pattern, understanding your own worth, your own relationship with God, apart from this other person's approval, and learning to set boundaries. This is going to take time. Obviously, I could not address everything here, but more than importantly, I love being able to come here and speak to you on this podcast because I want to just give you different perspectives and let you know that you don't have to do this alone. You don't have to live in fear or trapped by the need to please others. And this, like I said, is going to take time, but sometimes when we have a different perspective and we didn't realize or recognize those patterns, with God's help, we can rediscover, we can build those healthier relationships and walk in freedom. So I'm glad that you're here. Thank you for being here. Thank you for staying till the end of this episode. If it encouraged you, share it with a friend or just come share it with me on social media, or you can send me an email. But most importantly, don't forget, go to jessicahuddle.com to book your free 20-minute coaching consultation with me. As always, don't forget to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that it challenged you to see the goodness of God in your life and that whatever you are going through, God is with you and not punishing you. Share this episode with someone who has been praying for a mental breakthrough. Sometimes all we need is someone explaining something in a new and fresh way to get that breakthrough. Also, would you take 30 seconds to leave me a rating and review? It brings me so much joy to read them, and it's a way that lets me know you're enjoying the podcast. Lastly, go get my free 3-day study on how to deal with emotions in a biblical way. Psalm 18:19 reminds me of this. God delivers you because he delights in you. Don't forget that. I'll see you in a few days.